We all have events and times in our personal calendars that cause us to step back and reflect, whether that's a birthday or an anniversary, the loss of a loved one, any number of things. And for me, 3 weeks from today will be my 17th anniversary as a permanent deacon to serve in the Diocese of Lansing. Now, that's not really notable in and of itself, except for the fact that it's caused me to step back and reflect and ponder and remember a few things. And what really struck me in the last days are what they taught us in homiletics classes. First and foremost, always speak the truth and speak from your heart. And the other thing that they taught us that I hope to apply today a little bit is that you have to preach sometimes with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Okay? When you stop and think about it, that makes perfectly good sense. Because the truth in Scripture is eternal. It doesn't change. And yet, as our society and our culture changes over time, each generation has to take the truth in that Scripture and apply it to themselves. They have to make Scripture be alive in their lives just as it was when it was written all those years ago. And in that spirit, looking around, I thought about one thing in particular that we see in our culture a lot. And that's that we love us some celebrities. We follow, tweet, retweet, you know, all these things that we do on social media. We follow them and we like to know what they're doing. It's become such an industry that now there's another whole second class of these celebrities, if you will. We call them influencers. They tell us what to wear, what to eat, where to go, what to do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? They're not famous per se because they're an actor or a TV star or even a professional athlete, but people like to hear their opinions and they have a very large following on these social media platforms. So they love to try and point us in a direction, oftentimes for monetary gain. So they love all these clicks, they love all these tweets and retweets and follows and all of the other things that go along with it. But I contend that if you do that, that also entails a responsibility. If people are looking up to you, that makes you a role model. And the conflict in that is that many of these people will flat out say, oh, I'm not a role model. You can't have it both ways. If you want all that attention, if you want all the rewards that come with it, it entails a responsibility. It really is that simple. And the only thing that it seems that we like more about our celebrities, our influencers, is when they fall off their pedestal. We like to make an example of them. We like to call them out. We like to say, how can they do that? And it's really not much difference for the church either. We clearly live in a post-Christian society where Christian influence is simply not what it once was. That's the reality of it. And because we live in this post-Christian world, it makes things difficult sometimes. One of the things that we always have to deal with is this idea of second chances. When these people fall off their pedestal, they often cry out, give us another chance. And indeed, that's what we're called to do. We hear today about probably one of the most important, if not most famous, second chances in history. Saul, in the early church, had been persecuting Christians. It's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles that he would even drag people out of their homes and have them imprisoned or beaten or whatever punishment they thought was appropriate. And yet, the Lord Jesus knocked him to his knees and spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he was converted, and he became one of the greatest evangelists that the church has ever known. The disciples were in fear of him, but they gave him a second chance. You could make a case that Christianity would not have spread throughout the world as quickly as it did without the Apostle Paul. So what do we do with these second chances in our lives? Jesus tells us in Scripture that we should forgive not seven times, but 70 times seven times. In effect, unlimited. We always have to forgive. And that sets up a conflict inside ourselves, because there's a desire, a justifiable want for justice when people have wronged us or hurt us. And yet we have to forgive. So to reconcile that, I think we have the answer in today's gospel, or at least part of that answer, in that we have to constantly be pruned. Now, pruning is rather an interesting process. I think a lot of my tomato plants that we grow all summer long. If you know about tomato plants, you know they have a main stalk and branches that come off. And right out of the center between the main stalk and those branches comes a little growth that we've always called suckers, okay? And they will grow and become bushy and take over the plant almost. Botanists tell us they don't know exactly what they're for or what they do. They will never produce fruit. And they think that the only thing that they're useful for is that as the plant does produce fruit, it provides some shade. So oftentimes, we prune those little suckers off of there so the plant has more energy to grow strong and produce more fruit. Pruning occurs in lots of other ways. A year or so ago, I was, in effect, pruned from the workforce. It was a little painful. It was a little inconvenient. But I think in many ways, I've become stronger because of it. I've had more time to spend with other things, and I can see the wisdom and the beauty of it now, even though it was a little hard. Medical procedures could even be considered some kind of a form of pruning, because oftentimes, perhaps something that's diseased is removed or something is repaired, and even though there's pain and discomfort involved, we're better off in the long term because of it. So, how does the Lord prune us? Well, sometimes we get a nice shot fired across our bow. He'll make it very clear what he wants us to do. Other times it's a lot more subtle. If we keep the Lord's words, those things tend to be self-evident. Yeah. There's always technical things. I know, for one example, in our lives, my wife and I like to watch a little bit of TV in the evening. And we often see a lot of programs that have a lot of things that with what Catholics believe and our morals and different things. And sometimes we just have to say, we can't watch that. It just is too much in conflict what we believe. And the Lord does that in all sorts of ways in our lives. If we're dealing with a person in an improper way, he tends to let us know in our conscience. If we're doing something, perhaps one of our favorite little sins that we might have, the Lord has ways of letting us know that we need to have that pruned from our lives and removed so that we can be better and stronger after we've taken it out. The pruning can be uncomfortable. It can be a little painful at times. But if the Lord is truly in our hearts, if we take what he says as absolute truth, then really it's good for us. What parent hasn't had to discipline a child? Sometimes that happens to us as well. But it's never out of anger, it's never out of fear, it's never out of anything other than a love for us and wanting us to be better. And so we should welcome this pruning. We should accept it, we should learn from it, and we should always be better of it. And that's my challenge to you going forward, is for all of you to step back and take a look at your life. See if you can find times when perhaps you've been pruned, where the Lord has shown you that maybe something you were doing was not proper. And then look again to see if maybe the Lord is still trying to prune you. And the other thing I would ask is that you're open to that pruning, and that you take a look at who's your primary influencer in life. I would submit that as Christians, and especially as Catholic Christians, that primary influencer should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we accept that he's our primary influence, then we can accept that pruning, and over time, we become closer and closer to the vision that he has for each one of us.